This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host Alex. We are here to recap this New York Giants 2023-2024 NFL season. And once we finish that, we have a lot of news on tap for you. A lot of stuff has happened in the Giants world since we've gone, away for a couple days, a few days at that. A lot that happened that we did not expect to happen after we recorded that morning, right? We recorded our Eagles recap, and then after the Eagles recap, we talked about kind of what happened in that Joe Shane, Brian Daboll press conference. And besides the firings of the two coaches, the offensive line coach and Bobby Johnson, and then the special teams coordinator and Thomas McGahee, we were like, okay, Daboll indicated that Mike Kafka and Wink Martindale will return. Now, is that going to be the case? Like, we'll have to see. And then later that day, it started. And then ever since then, it's been a whirlwind of information coming out about the situation between Wink Martindale and Brian Daboll. We have the new offensive line coach. Sterling Shepard says goodbye to the Giants. A couple honors for a couple of Giants players. We're going to get into all of it. But first, the season recap. But even before that, Alex, back at school, second semester just started for you. First week, how's it going?
Doing well. It's gotten going pretty quickly, quicker than I remembered, which is always fun when, you know, the work's already piling up and you're only 4 days in. But I'm doing well. Off-season's here. Playoffs are here, depending on what team you are. And obviously for the Giants, it's off-season. And it's been kind of a crazy ride over the past few days. And not even that, but the whole season, obviously, which we're going to talk about in a sec. But yeah, I can't believe some of the things I'm seeing. Which is, I guess, a normal occurrence for us Giants fans when you go on your timeline or whatever on Twitter and you just see things that no other fan base is seeing on their timelines. Let's just say that. Some crazy stuff is always happening in Giants world. And I guess I'm here for it sometimes, but in this case, it was kind of upsetting. And throughout this whole season, which has been pretty upsetting as well.
Yeah, well, let's talk about being upset and being, I guess, uncomfortable when the Giants are losing the first five out of their six games to begin the season. The first one at that, a primetime showing against our rivals in the Dallas Cowboys of the NFC East. And we have a goose egg, of 0 points in that battle between the Cowboys. It wasn't even a battle. The Giants got absolutely dominated on all parts of the ball, offense, defense, special teams. The Cowboys win that game 40-0, Alex. We remember it very, very well. We were already at school by that point, and it was terrible to watch. Daniel Jones ended up throwing two interceptions in that game. Tony Pollard ran all over us, getting two touchdowns. And the Giants would go on to beat the Cardinals the next week, which was the team that going into the season with all their debacle happening and Kyler Murray not, you know, being the quarterback of that team at that point and for the most of the season, actually. But they come and they beat them. They come from behind and they were down really, you know, by a lot early and they come from behind. And then we're like, okay, maybe the Giants are not terrible. An expected, you know, I guess, abomination by the 49ers against the Giants the following week. Then we lose to the Seahawks. Then we lose to the Dolphins. And then that close game to the Bills, another primetime matchup. And the Giants lose 5 out of their first 6 games of the season. And that's the point where we want to start off right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting start to the season. Obviously, you start with the Cowboys game, like you mentioned, Josh. And the momentum is down instantly. Then you're down 24-0 to the Cardinals in that first half. You somehow come back. You win that game. And it feels like, okay, we're back. We're all right. That second half was good. And then, obviously, you face a very daunting 49ers team. And you're like, okay, you're not going to win that one anyway. And then you get to that Seahawks game. And it's like, okay, you know, this is a team that should be on our level there or thereabouts. If not, we're better than them. And then to go out there and lose 24-3, and just, I remember that game vividly, just not even being in it whatsoever. And you drop to 1-3. And at that point, you're really looking, you know, not so good. And then you have the Dolphins next week. They're one of the best teams in football at that time. You lose to them. And then that Bills game, you know, you're 1-4, but you can kind of get your season back on track if you win that Bills game. You got the Commanders, you got the Jets after that, you got the Raiders, who we thought would have been an easier game as well. And you lose that on the last play of the game. And, you know, we're sitting there. What are we at that point in time? 1-5?
I forget what week it was exactly, but I think it was the primetime loss. I think that was that game against the Bills, Alex, where you remember this. It was in our best of 2023 video. I said, this is a Giant take. It's the name of our podcast. And then I said, the Giant season is over. And then you were so worried. You were on the edge of your seat like, oh, what is he going to say? What is he going to say? And then I said that the Giant season is over. And you're like, yeah, that's not that Giant. I mean, at this point, it's kind of obvious.
It is what it is, yeah. So, I mean, at that point in the season, it's over at that point, right? You're 1-5. I believe you have, what, a 10% chance of making the playoffs at that point.
Yeah.
Even less, I think it was like 5%, according to ESPN Analytics. And at that point, you're really in the mud and you're just looking like, okay. But if you string 3 wins in a row together, you're 4-5 and you're back in it when you're heading down to Dallas to face them in the beginning of November. If you can win those relatively easier games against the Commanders, the Jets, the Raiders, but obviously that was not to be.
That was not to be, Alex, and that is what we talk about now. We have that game against Commanders where we don't score that many points, and that is the trouble with this Giants season throughout the beginning half in the first 2 months, all the way up until November. This Giants team is not scoring points. What's the issue? And Daniel Jones isn't playing, right? Tyrod Taylor plays in that game because he has a neck injury. Darren Waller actually has his first and probably only explosive game of the season against the Commanders. But yet, the Giants still only win 14-7. And you're sitting there like, what is this Giants team going to be now at 2-5? Okay, we're going to play a poor Jets team that we know we can beat. At that point, actually, though, without Aaron Rodgers, they're still doing pretty okay. They're 3-3 on the year, but we're going to go there. We're going to be able to beat them in the MetLife Bowl. We go to overtime with the Jets in one of the worst, lowest-scoring football games I've seen of late and lose 13-10 on a game-winning field goal in overtime. Absolutely horrendous performance. The Giants move to 2-6 on the season, and we think, shit, cannot go lower or get worse than where we are right now. And then the next week happens, and the Giants play the Raiders in Las Vegas, and our starting quarterback, Daniel Jones, comes back from his neck injury, and he tears his ACL. His knee buckles in one of the first plays, if not the first play of the second quarter. Then one of the plays, he just completely crumbles and goes down. No sack, just crumbles off of the snap, falls to the ground, and everyone knows something's up. And at this point, Tyrod Taylor is injured. So we have the Italian Stallion, Tommy DeVito, better known as Tommy Cutlets, comes into that game and shows how he's a third-string quarterback, throws 2 interceptions on the day, and the Giants lose 30-6 over a late round pick in the NFL draft to Aiden O'Connell, the former Purdue quarterback. And we're sitting here like, we said last week, how are things going to be able to, like, how can we get worse from here? How can we get closer to rock bottom? And then we somehow manage to do it. And we lose our starting quarterback for the rest of the season. And we go into a stretch where we realize we are going to have to rock with a practice squad quarterback that was even mediocre in his time in college at two separate schools in Syracuse and Illinois. How is he going to fare? How is this team going to get another win with this guy? And that's what happens the week after that. They lose to the Cowboys, 49-17, get absolutely dominated again by the Cowboys. And then it's like, the Giants have been outscored by the Cowboys 87-17 in their series against them this season. And then beat the Commanders, beat the Patriots, beat the Packers, three wins in a row, all led by the man himself, Tommy DeVito. And that was that run. The Packers game on prime time, his parents in the audience, his agent on the sideline wearing his top hat on the phone, calling someone he always knows a guy, right? And that is where the DeVito family took off. And the train was really riding him. And I'm going to give it to Alex to talk about Tommy DeVito a little bit, because I know he wants to do it.
I mean, what isn't there to say about Tommy DeVito? Tommy DeVito, he comes in, obviously the Cowboys game, we forget about the Cowboys games, both games this season, let's just write them out of our memory. But he comes into that one against the Commanders. The Commanders are not very good. Giants aren't very good, but the Giants, when they're not very good, still seem to beat the Commanders all the time, and that happens again. A nasty kind of defensive battle against the Patriots. Tommy DeVito doesn't play super well, but they end up winning. And then that primetime game of Tommy DeVito shows out. The first two games, really not that influential, to be completely honest, in the Tommy DeVito arc, I guess you could say, of this Giants season. But prime time, Monday Night Football, you can't get a bigger stage than that. And Tommy DeVito, he shows up. But that is pretty much the last time he does show up for the season, and will eventually be benched, I believe, the very next game.
I don't think it was the very next game.
No,
it might have been two games past that.
It was against the Eagles, yes.
Because the following game, the Giants are 5-8. Fans are thinking, how is there a possibility that this team can make the wild card game? This team can make the playoffs. We got a 5% chance of it. Let's ride Tommy DeVito. The Giants then play the Saints, and this is a very mediocre team again. So we're here in this position thinking we can beat a mediocre team. The Giants cannot, because they cannot put points on the board. And even though they scored 24 points against the Packers scored 22. And it was Wink Martindale's defense that held them to a lower amount of points. Same thing against the Patriots. That was one of the worst games of the season. A 10-7 Giants win on a game-winning field goal. What are we doing here? So if we think as Giants fans that they can beat the Saints, we were wrong. And I think that was the game that Alex picked the Giants to win, and they lost 24-6, and he's like, I'm never picking the Giants to win again. And he was right, because then we have another close game against the Eagles. That's when Tyrod plays, Alex, and we lose that one. And if you remember, that was the Christmas Day game where the final play was Tyrod Taylor all in his hands, finding an option, and no one was open.
No option, really.
Then we have what I still say is the worst game of the season against the Rams, where the Giants had like eight chances to win the football game, and they didn't do it. They just couldn't do it. Like, they were betting on themselves to lose. Alex doesn't agree, because he still says all the momentum with the first game and the Cowboys' dreadful loss. I still disagree.
I was practically in tears after week one. I was not in tears in week 17.
And the final game. Alex, do you have anything to say before we talk about this final game real quick?
We'll talk about the final game, and then I'll give a wrap, like, more of my season recap, my season notes that I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, the final game put a smile on every Giants fan's face. 6-11, the team ends with a 27-10 win, snapping a streak of losses against the Eagles and against Nick Sirianni and Brian Daboll getting his first win against the Eagles as head coach of the New York Giants. Wow. Was that a performance? So that is where we end the season. A very odd ending, thinking, oh, wow, we just spoiled the Eagles' chances of winning the division, and now they're playing in a wild card game, and that's our celebration. When into the season, our ideas of where this team could go was a divisional win, because that's where we made it to the previous year. And we were like, well, this team on paper is better than last year's team, right? Not only should we win that wild card game, we should win the divisional too. Let's go to the conference championship at that, right? That was the end goal of in the playoffs, and how far can we go in the playoffs. And we end up with our final moments of happiness, which was knocking the Eagles out of winning the division, but also just like beating the Eagles in general. And it was a great win, and we messed up Nick Sirianni's plan. We talked about that all in our Eagles recap, if you wanted to listen to that. But Alex, I guess I can go to you now for your thoughts on your, what were you saying?
My season recap notes, even though the notes are very much in my head. Anyway, what I'll say this season, it's all about almost, I think, is the best way to describe this season. Except for week one, it was just a season of almost. The moments that could have turned around this season were, you know, one play moments, split second decisions, whether it's by our players, opposing players, referees, whatever it may be. And that turned the season into what ended up being a total disaster to maybe something that was more on the below average side, or whatever that may have been. I would also say that I think last year, I know a lot of people are saying, looking at this season, last year was a fluke. It wasn't a fluke. It was just those tiny moments. You know how I just talked about those moments, those one plays, those split seconds? Those went correctly. Those were right, whatever they were, for the Giants. And that's why they were able to finish 9-7-1 last year. And that's why they made the playoffs. That's why they won a playoff game. Because, you know, though they didn't win by large margins, they were not blowing out any teams, except for that final game against the Colts last year. They were winning on fine margins, winning on the very important plays. And they just lost on all the important plays this season. And that's the main difference. Again, a tougher schedule. You know, teams kind of figuring out Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka's offense a little bit. So that's going to be something they're going to have to go back on the drawing board this season. And, yeah, I don't think this season was as disastrous as the record made it look. There's a lot of injuries, of course. You know, some rough, you know, kind of politics towards the end of the season with Wink, clearly, as we've seen with what has happened at the end of the season, which we'll talk about in a second. But overall, I'm not furious with the season as I was during the season, now kind of looking back. But I think there's a lot to learn about individuals, who stepped up, who was consistent throughout. Right, Saquon Barkley, he fought tooth and nail. It felt like, even though everything was kind of lined up against him at the beginning of the season, Dexter Lawrence had a great season. You know, some of these key cornerstone pieces you could recognize in this season. I think that was really important. Now, is Daniel Jones a cornerstone piece? We didn't really get much time to see him this season, so that's a big question mark. And, you know, you were able to see who was really going to be a part of this franchise going forward, and who's not going to be. And, you know, as we always say, when times are tough, that's when the real leaders and the true stars shine through. You know, I think we saw quite a few of those, both on offense and defense. And I'm happy to see that, at least from, you know, a relatively poor season.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, I think one final note that I have, right, because you kind of got it all in there, was this Giants season was just another one, I feel like, filled with injuries. And it really let this team down, especially from the quarterback position. Paying Daniel Jones all the big bucks in the offseason to not only get injured, though. Like, that's the thing. What Giants fans know at this point, and what I think this front office has to see, is Daniel Jones, even after the record-setting contract, and I think it's something that the Giants front office doesn't want to think about, because they signed him for so much money that they don't want to think about how he didn't play well in the games he played in. Before the neck injury, in the beginning of the season, Daniel Jones was not consistent. He was not a good quarterback. And then the game after the neck injury, maybe the neck injury was still looming in that first quarter against the Raiders, but if it wasn't, or even if it was, then don't play him if it's that bad, because that was one of the worst performances I've ever seen from Daniel Jones, and I still say that. Overthrowing guys, Throwing over Saquon by 10 yards is not something that an NFL quarterback should be doing. And that is what Daniel Jones did in that game. So, again, it's not on one player, but the injuries between him and Tyrod Taylor kind of bouncing back and forth, that's unfortunate. I mean, obviously this season is sort of defined by the Tommy DeVito era. That's what people are probably going to remember. Oh, do you remember the Giants 2023 season? Oh, was that like the Tommy DeVito era? Yeah, that was it. That season, right? That, I think that's what people are going to look back and remember the season about. They're not going to remember, you know, like other topics with how Saquon Barkley, it was him on a franchise tag, whatever. So I would say it was a season full of injuries. And then kind of my other note was, again, Alex, a season full of coin flips. That if it landed on heads instead of tails, maybe that game against the Rams, the Giants could have won. Maybe there would be a PI call on Darren Waller in the end zone against Buffalo. Maybe in overtime, the Giants would actually score against the Jets and win that game. And when you look at all the coin flips throughout the entirety of this season, this could have been a playoff team. But unfortunately, all the coins flip the wrong direction, and the Giants end up with a poor record and an opportunity to get another quarterback at some point in the offseason, get another running back at some point in the offseason, and that's just kind of where we are right now. No, it's not a rebuild. This team could go somewhere next year. I don't have any doubts about that, but it really just depends now on who you bring in, because as reporters have already started to mention, Saquon Barkley and the Giants seem to be moving in the opposite direction. That's what Ralph Acciano already reported, so we'll have to wait and see. And with that being said, though, let's get to our Giants news, unless Alex has something else before we do that.
All I'd say is, as important as it is to reflect on the season and learn from it, like I said in our previous episode, it's also, as soon as OTAs begin, as soon as the off-season program starts, it's back to square one. It's you have to forget this past season, because
yeah,
in some part of it, it was a fluke in some aspects, and of course in some aspects, some true blemishes in this team were, you know, kind of caught out and showed off to the world. So that it's got to be a fine mix by Dable in this offseason program for sure. And we kind of kept it brief here because obviously no one wants to talk about a terrible season for a super long amount of time. Of course, brief for us is like 15 minutes, but whatever. I think we did a pretty good job of summarizing it relatively quickly.
We're going to take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the Giants news that's happened in the last few days since we recorded our last episode on Monday. Stay tuned.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
When sweet tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like sweet tarts twisted rainbow ropes, gummies fruity splits, and chewy fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet tarts, dare to combine. Visit sweettartscandy.com to shop now.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome back here to the Giant Take, a New York Giants podcast, and we're going to go right into it right now. I'm not wasting any time. You've waited long enough listening. I'm going to talk about it. Outside linebackers coach Drew Wilkins and his brother Kevin Wilkins, who was a defensive assistant for the New York Giants, were both fired on Monday. A few hours after that, Wink Martindale resigns. But wait, no he didn't. What are you guys talking about? So, Alex, do you want to break this down? Let's break this down now. All right, here's the deal. Wink Martindale has now resigned. This is now confirmed, you know, by the New York Giants,
not
by the
officially.
NFL. No, it is official.
At that time, I'm saying.
At that time. Now it is official. Come Thursday, January 11th at 6:31 p.m. when we're recording right at this very moment, it is official. Wink Martindale has resigned. At that moment on Monday, he had not resigned. Now, you probably know all the specifics. We'll give a brief synopsis because I'm sure you listening kind of know what happened. But
look at that big vocabulary word, Josh. I'm proud of you there.
Thank you. So, Wink Martindale, Brian Daboll at the press conference mentioned that he believes Wink Martindale and Mike Kafka will return to the New York Giants, right? Next on the list. When asked about if he's spoken to them yet, he said no. I will be speaking to them right after this later today. So, Brian Daboll also announced that his special teams coordinator, like we've mentioned earlier, an O-line coach, got fired, but did not seem to indicate anything about the firings of an outside linebackers coach in Drew Wilkins and his brother in Kevin Wilkins. Both guys came in with Wink Martindale when he was signed to be the Giants defensive coordinator because those are his guys. They were back with him in Baltimore with the Ravens, and they traveled with him to the New York Giants. So those are his two assistants. And even when the Giants were hiring, Wink Martindale said, if I wasn't the defensive coordinator, they should definitely be. Like, they are highly qualified to be defensive coordinators in this league. He was talking about, I think, Drew Wilkins specifically, though. So from what the reports are, and this was mostly talked about by Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, was that Wink Martindale came in and sat down with Daboll, and Daboll said, listen, we have fired Drew Wilkins and Kevin Wilkins, right? So these are the two guys that Wink Martindale has been riding with throughout his entire career, coaching career. So with that news, and Daboll not saying in the press conference, keeping it to himself, which was obviously his own move, and good for Daboll, because at the end of this is not a Wink Martindale issue, or this is not a Brian Daboll issue, this is a Wink Martindale issue. So with that news, Martindale reportedly, obviously, but it seems like everything is leading to the truth side, Wink Martindale gets hysterically upset, screaming curses at Brian Daboll and the New York Giants, more Brian Daboll because he told him the news, walks out of the facility, and then quickly books a flight to his home in Sarasota, Florida. Gets on the flight, and by the way, at this point, has not officially resigned. So he never signed the paper to resign. The whole entire reason that the Giants wanted him to resign and not fire him was to give him the opportunity in regards to the contract, and how if he signed with another team next year, the Giants would not have to pay him if he resigned, compared to if they fired him, they would still have to pay him after he resigned and went with another team. That's the whole point about this. And so Wink Martindale just leaves in frustration but never signs a resignation. But because Wink Martindale travels to Sarasota and then all the insiders find out through his family and friends telling them that he's resigned, all the reporters say that Wink Martindale has resigned, but nothing's official because he never signed pen to paper. So that was where we were left with for a few days before that news happened. And then more comes out. And Alex, I'm talking for a long time, so butt in if you want.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely craziness. I mean, it's honestly what you've said so far is basically the main thing here.
But there's more.
I know there's more, but that it's the main portion. It's just kind of nuts. It's kind of crazy. A little bit disappointed on how Daboll's handled it, obviously, but Wink is clearly crazy as well. And he's clearly a guy who just did not want to be defensive coordinator of the Giants anymore, and just was too close to his friends, right? We saw Bobby Johnson was fired, Dable and him, best buds, but you have to do what is best for the team. Wink Martindale.
And this wasn't a bad decision by Dable at all.
I don't
think so. Drew Wilkins helped lead one of the worst group of linebackers we have seen in recent time. The Giants ranked dead last in the linebacker category. And we're talking about guys like Kayvon Thibodeau on this team. And the only reason that he was leading that group is because he's just a very good player. But the fundamentals behind the outside linebacker coaching was poor. So
for
anyway.
Sure. And needed, you know, they needed to go. And, you know, the O-line coach went, they needed to go. You know, it just was only fair. And I'll let you touch, you know, briefly on the other stuff, because honestly, I'll just say this, you know, Wink, you know, he was a good DC, but we clearly, they needed to move on based on all this.
And this wasn't sort of a, you know, F you, Wink, we're going to fire your defense. Like, this wasn't like just because type of thing. This was needed. Like, this was necessary. They should have been fired, these guys. They were not doing, obviously, a good job with their specific decision. Now, this was a little get back at Wink Martindale by Brian Dable. He could have very well fired them before the press conference and said, we also have gotten rid of Drew Wilkins and Kevin Wilkins from our defensive staff. But he decided to wait to do that, to get back at Wink for all the BS that he did during the season. And then tell Wink, knowing that obviously he's going to clearly be upset, did not expect getting cursed out and leaving and flying straight to Sarasota. But anyway, the other stuff I was alluding to, Alex. So we all know about Jay Glazer's report mid-season. Brian Dable and Wink Martindale. There is tension inside and outside of the locker room. Brian Dable comes out. He says, I've heard the report. The only thing that me and Wink argue is the last slice of pizza. That's what he says. Wink, there is no reason that he doesn't even attempt to shut it down, right? That's another thing. Brian Dable attempts to shut it down. Wink doesn't seem to, you know, he says he doesn't really care and, you know, he doesn't believe the outside noise, but it's now believed that Wink Martindale was the man, or at least one of his defensive assistants in the Wilkins, reported that to Jay Glazer. So with that report out, Brian Dable's like, what the heck is the problem? Because he has no idea like that anything is wrong. And he went into a meeting with all his defensive staff and he said, guys, if anyone's got a problem with me, say something now or forever hold your peace. You know, something along those lines. No one says anything. And Dable's like, all right, and moves on. So obviously there is an issue and Brian Dable did the right thing here by speaking up. And that's as a head coach, you have to deal with that stuff. If there's problems and issues in your coaching room, you have to head on deal with those issues. And that's what he did. And no one spoke up. But then kind of just manipulation left and right. You know, Wink Martindale trashes Xavier McKinney. Brian Dable doesn't like that. Gives Xavier McKinney the game ball, right? The following week McKinney break down the team in the locker room. Here's another instance. Gives Wink Martindale the game ball, right? Says, here, let's give it to Wink, right? So I think there's things back and forth. I think it's a crazy situation, and we'll have to see what goes on from here. But at this very moment, Wink Martindale is not the New York Giants, and will not be. He has resigned as the New York Giants defensive coordinator. So obviously in future episodes, maybe next episode, we'll give you a few candidates that you can look forward to the Giants maybe possibly interviewing. But they're not thinking about that right at this very moment. Okay, I think we can move on, right, Alex? Sterling Shepard says goodbye to Giants fans. I'll just read a part of the quote. He said, forever grateful to the New York Giants organization, past and present teammates, and the incredible fan base for their unwavering love and support over the past 8 years. Dexter Lawrence named to the players all pro team. Congrats to Dexter Lawrence. It's the second year now they've done this players all pro list. And I think it's cool. The players should be able to vote on their own list. And Dexter Lawrence making that seems like he's pretty respected around the league by other players. Punter Jamie Gillen earned the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week honor right after Gunnar Olszewski wins it a couple weeks ago, I believe. Giants hired a new O-line coach. That is a big piece of news here. In Carmen Brasillo.
Yeah, I think Brasillo's right.
Spent the last two seasons as the Raiders offensive line coach. Came to the Raiders with former head coach Josh McDaniels from New England. started out in New England as a coaching assistant in 2019 before he was moved to the co-offensive line coach in 2020 and offensive line coach in 2021. So again, Raiders O-line coach the past two seasons, was a Pats O-line coach in 2021, but co-O-line coach for the Patriots in 2020, and then was the Youngsville State offensive line coach from 2010 to 2018 before transitioning to the NFL. So a lot of experience. This guy is not young. I believe he's 47, 48 years old, so he's had a lot of experience in this league. I think it'll be, you know, definitely something good and a refresher than Bobby Johnson, who maybe he was up there in age, but didn't have, I think, as many years of experience as, am I completely lying right now, or is this a different person? No, this is not him. Alex, go ahead.
I think he's going to be a good hire in terms of like what he can do schematically. I think there's, you know, he's done a lot of good with the Raiders offensive line. They were not super great before he got there. Obviously they have some talented players on that line, but you know, they all had those issues with some of their first round draft picks. They obviously missed on Alex Leatherwood and some other players as well. And they have been able to, you know, kind of protect Aiden O'Connell or Jimmy Garoppolo or whoever you may talk about, you know, this past season and Derek Carr before him. So overall, not too bad. And obviously was with the Pats in 2021, 2020, 2019, like you said. So I think there's definitely a lot of potential, you know, here in terms of him hopefully improving the offensive line. But until he really gets his hands on these guys and can really start working with them, and, you know, we say a year from now and look at this, you know, next season as a whole, especially that second half of next season and how this offensive line has, you know, been producing, it's going to be hard to really tell. I'm not going to get excited about a new O-line coach as I have in the past, because at this point, I've just been disappointed time after time.
So I made a mistake. Bobby Johnson does have, I want to make this clear, like a very good resume for himself, and is actually older than our new offensive line coach. So
yeah,
I made a mistake there. But anyway, yeah, it'll be nice to get a refresher in, and hopefully he's able to do well with his offensive line. And like you said, Alex, the Giants have not had a good offensive line in a long time now. And hopefully they do some drafting of those guys, with Joe Shane mentioning that they have a few picks within the top 70. You would think one of those is an offensive lineman. Guard, tackle, doesn't matter. We need depth, so pick either one. Whatever you would like to do, pick a guy. All we know is we have a starting tackle and we have a starting center for the future. Besides that, anything's up for grabs. And yes, I'm not saying we have two starting tackles, because who the hell knows with Evan Neal what is going to happen with that guy. He has not been good. I don't even know if good is the right way. He's not even bad. He's been terrible. So, yeah. I mean, sorry to, like, crap on Evan Neal here, but not necessary. Anyway. All right, Alex. So that is the Giants news that we have right now. I'm sure we'll come back after the Super Wild Card weekend for an episode either on Monday or Tuesday early next week, talking about, we'll have to figure it out. Giants news, maybe defensive coordinator stuff, but we're not done with this episode, because we have one last thing to do, and that's NFL picks, which still continue throughout the playoffs to find out who had more correct last week. Dead even at 10-5. Alex, I'll let you take the, I'm gonna get the majority of games here. I've never had that happen to me, but I'll get it here for Super Wild Card weekend. You'll do the Saturday games and I'll take over after that.
All right, Browns, Texans. I've got the Browns, Josh has the Texans. Chiefs, Dolphins, we both have the Chiefs, and that is the only two I'm talking about.
Alex, that Chiefs game, Chiefs-Bills, supposed to be record low temperatures for an NFL game. What'd I say?
Chiefs-Bills.
My bad. Chiefs-Dolphins, I'm looking at the Bills game next. Chiefs-Dolphins, supposed to be record low temperatures of like 0 degrees at kickoff. Absolutely insanity there. So we'll have to see if the team from Miami can handle those bone-chilling temperatures. Steelers versus Bills, the game on Sunday at 1. The Bills. Alex has them winning, and I have the Steelers, because we're going to have some fun. Cowboys versus Packers at 4:30 on Sunday. We both have the Cowboys winning that. The Rams and the Lions is a Sunday night game at 8 o'clock. Alex is the Rams. I have the Lions. Matthew Stafford returning, I believe, for the first time to Ford Field.
Yeah,
or
I believe
at
so.
Least, or at
second
least.
Second time.
Maybe second time, but for the Lions to have their first playoff game in a numerous amount of years, and it's the game against Matthew Stafford, and Lions fans love Matthew Stafford now, loved him even when he left. Like, this guy is beloved in that city of Detroit, and he has to come back and try and beat his old team is wild to me. And then that's a great storyline. Eagles, Buccaneers, Monday night. Alex is the Eagles, and for fun, I have the Buccaneers. How nice would it be to see Nick Sirianni's face lose to the Buccaneers in the wild card game after that team? Alex, that, I mean, everyone's saying it. That team, that Eagles team, is in destruction right now. Like, they're absolutely beat down. I mean, they're not wrong. Nick Sirianni's losing his mind over there. I don't know. I feel like the Buccaneers can give them a run for their money. We'll have to wait and see. So, with that being said, we appreciate you listening to this episode of the Giant Take Podcast. It was a little bit of a longer one now that I'm looking at it, but we appreciate you sticking with us throughout the entire thing. Had a lot of stuff to cover. If you want more content from us at the Giant Take Pod on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, I've been putting out and going to continue to put out content on those socials, at least for the next few days I have left here at home that I've gotten the time to do it before I go back to school. So I'll try to keep doing that. Alex on Twitter at @anorian23. I'm on Twitter at @joshello29. Obviously, you know, if you want to hear Alex, or I guess see Alex's, once a month tweets about how terrible the Nets are, and, you know, feel free to follow him on Twitter. A team that can't even beat a less than 10-win team in the NBA in the Portland Trail Blazers in overtime, and then the Knicks go and beat them by 40. I got to see that live, by the way. It was a very enjoyable watch, if you were wondering, Alex. So, you can also subscribe to the podcast. He's taking none of my BS right now. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Google Podcasts, anywhere you listen. Rate us 5 stars. And while Alex has the look, I know you're listening, so I'll describe it to you. While Alex has basically the look of death, because he's just thinking about how terrible this Nets team is, I'll let him close it out so he can go cry over that.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Fire Jacques Vaughn, please. Thank you. Enjoyed a very, disappointing season, but still enjoyed hopping on the mics and talking about it. So we do appreciate you all sticking with us for that. And hopefully we got some exciting off-season stuff coming up. So stay tuned. We'll see you next time.